KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have clear skies here in Atlantic, 68 degrees. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with just a slight chance for isolated showers this afternoon, a high of 85. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. The space used to treat patients at a now-closed state mental health institute here in southwest Iowa is reopening under new management. The Iowa Department of Corrections is expected to sign a contract this month with the company to lease four wards at the facility once known as the Clarinda Mental Health Institute. Zion Recovery Services, which offers substance abuse treatment, wants to expand its residential services. The three-year contract could complicate any effort to reopen the space as a state-run mental health facility. The Iowa Supreme Court is in the midst of reviewing a lawsuit that challenges Governor Terry Branstad's decision last year to close the institute, along with a facility in Mount Pleasant. Attorneys for plaintiffs in the lawsuit want the closed centers to reopen. A city official in southwest Iowa accused of falsifying drinking water quality tests for years has quit his post. The Sydney City Council last week approved Mark Travis's resignation as city administrator. It's effective September 30th. He'd been placed on paid administrative leave in July. Travis has pleaded not guilty to charges of felonious misconduct in office and falsifying required water quality information. Fremont County authorities say Travis falsified monthly operation reports given to the Iowa DNR from 2009 to 2015. His trial is set to begin on October 11th. Officials of the Creston Police Department say a man who resides in the 900 block of West Jefferson Street in Creston reported Friday afternoon that someone slashed two tires on his driver's side vehicle while it was parked near his home. The incident, which happened sometime between 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. on Friday, resulted in a loss of about $180. Local developers have teamed up with a company that already owns three casinos in the state to put together another plan to build a casino in Cedar Rapids. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission voted 4-1 against a proposed casino in the eastern Iowa city back in April of 2014. The president of Wild Rose Casinos and Resorts, Tom Timmons, says his company is working with local developers Steve Emerson and Hunter Parks on a new option.
What they want to do is put something downtown. The last plan that was proposed, approximately 2 years ago, had a casino on the west side of the river. It was 840 slot machines, 30 table games, full-blown hotel, convention center, eateries. And what these individuals came up with the idea is maybe having a casino more downtown on the east side of the river.
Timmons says it would be a smaller project.
We're calling it kind of boutique casino, if you will. And it'll be about being proposed maybe two-thirds the size, 600, 700 slot machines, 15 to 20 table games.
He says they've commissioned a study on the issue
to see what is the right size of a casino, not to maximize revenues, but the right size of a casino to not impact the existing casinos, which is part of the reason the plan failed last time.
The Racing and Gaming Commission awarded a license for the casino in Greene County that Timmons' company owns. Shortly after turning down the Cedar Rapids casino plan, the commission members indicated at the time they would not be interested in adding any more gambling licenses. Timmons believes the new proposal might get them to reconsider Cedar Rapids.
What they said was is they weren't interested in adding a casino of that size because of the impact it was making to the other facilities. If you size it right, I'm not sure that they said that they wouldn't do that.
The proposal to create a smoke-free casino was raised for Cedar Rapids as an alternative to the current casinos, but that never went anywhere. Timmons says the smoking issue isn't something that they're looking at right now.
That's so far down the road. I don't know. That would be the only one in Iowa if it was done. We'd certainly put in a non-smoking room, I can tell you that, for a part of it. But to go totally smokeless, I wouldn't say that at this point.
Wild Rose Cedar Rapids estimates the new casino would create 200 to 225 permanent jobs and inject $6 to $7 million into the economy via employee payroll and benefits alone. Timmons says it will take some time to complete the study and get a proposal ready for the Racing and Gaming Commission. He said it would likely not happen until January. Wild Rose operates casinos in Emmitsburg and Clinton, along with the Greene County Casino in Jefferson. Officials in Council Bluffs say they're not worried that a proposed new casino in Cedar Rapids will divert a business away from their city's three casinos. The local gaming officials say the casino would likely have a limited impact if it gets built. Jill Beasley, marketing director for Harrah's and Horseshoe Casinos in Council Bluffs, says the Cedar Rapids casino might draw visitors from Des Moines, but most of Harrah's and Horseshoe's customers come from the Council Bluffs, Omaha metro area. Elsewhere in the news, authorities arrested a man after he used his pickup truck to hit two other men at a Little League complex near Des Moines before crashing into a concession stand. Polk County Sheriff's Sergeant Brandon Braceland said the incident happened at around 8:40 a.m. Sunday at the Highland Park Little League complex. Three men were cleaning up debris that was left at the complex from a Saturday event before the incident happened. The suspect left for breakfast and then returned in his truck and hit the other men. He then crashed into a concession stand, jumped out of his truck, and chased someone. It took several officers to arrest the suspect, who was treated for non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities have not released the names of any of the men involved. The search for a missing Luther College student has ended in tragedy. Darren Svensson reports from Decorah.
Decorah police say the body of 21-year-old Bjorn Norderhow was found Sunday morning in the Upper Iowa River near Decorah. Authorities say he was last seen early Saturday morning, shortly before 2 a.m. in the downtown Decorah area. College officials say Norderhow was a computer science major from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. The incident remains under investigation.
A late-night fire in Waterloo has destroyed a mobile home. That fire started around 11 p.m. Friday. The flames spread quickly and destroyed the home. Neighbors say a woman inside the house was able to get out safely on her own. Two men helped a dog get out of the home. The dog was given oxygen on site and taken to a veterinarian. Authorities say the fire's cause was still under investigation, but it may be related to smoking. An Iowa State Senator from Davenport has died after a battle with brain cancer. Iowa Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall says Senator Joe Tsang died Friday at the age of 69. Tsang, a Democrat and veterinarian, had been in the Iowa Senate since 2003. He previously served in the Iowa House and as a Davenport City Alderman. Tsang was diagnosed with a brain tumor in his left parietal lobe in 2014, but vowed to undergo treatment and continue his legislative career. He remained in office until his death and served as the chairman of the Iowa Senate Agriculture Committee. Gronstall says Tsang was tough as nails and lived in his Catholic faith through his words and actions. About 250 people demonstrated Saturday at a site where construction crews plan to extend a crude oil pipeline into the Mississippi River. More than 40 protesters climbed a fence at the site and were arrested for trespassing. Jessica Reznicek helped to set up the round-the-clock camp just outside the construction site, which is near Sandusky, Iowa.
We've got roles for everybody, and just to take part and support the people who are going away in police cars.
Reznicek was among those who were arrested Saturday afternoon. She says she was doing it for those who can't join the protest.
I think about my brother and his two children, and he's got to go to work 12-hour days and 7 days a week, and I'm doing it for him and those kids.
Five juveniles and 39 adults were arrested Saturday in what a Lee County deputy sheriff calls a passive protest. And U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is scheduled to meet with egg producers and industry leaders this Wednesday to discuss issues with raising cage-free eggs. The demand for cage-free eggs is rising, but Vilsack questions whether consumers realize what it takes to make that possible. United Egg Producers President Chad Gregory says around 90% of egg farms currently produce eggs through conventional methods.
And to switch that 90% of the industry over to cage-free, we're looking at $45 per bird. So a million bird egg farm, which is about average nowadays, would cost $45 million.
Around 160 companies have committed to selling cage-free eggs, according to Gregory. And given what they need to meet demand, he says it's a significant investment.
The food companies and the retailers that have made these announcements so far, they collectively buy about 200 million birds worth of eggs on an annual basis. Those 200 million birds times the $45 per bird, somewhere around $8 to $10 billion.
Switching to cage-free doesn't happen overnight, Gregory adds, and companies will need to make huge investments in time and resources to meet the goal of supplying only cage-free eggs. Iowa is the nation's top egg producer, with roughly 60 million laying hens producing nearly 15 billion eggs per year. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent and Dish Network satellite system dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.